Bird.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Nathan Ross, CPA, and it's Cybersecurity Sunday once again. We had such an outpouring of questions and approvals after last week's show. I've decided that to the extent Mr. Win-Win can make it be available consistently, sure makes it easier on Nathan on Sunday morning, so we're going to continue to do it. Let's see what our agenda shows for us today. We're going to talk about several things that pop up in, probably your everyday life, whether you're corporate or, most of these things, I guess, will happen across corporate environments. On the other hand, corporate environments are more aware than perhaps people sitting at home using their Gmail or Yahoo or whatever they use. But in any event, I asked Wynn to develop a talk, if you will, on how to spot a phishing attack. And I tell you, it seems like it's every day I get efforts to find out something about me. I can't remember. This week I had somebody, of course, wanting bank information so they could send a bunch of money to me. Normally, Gmail does a pretty good job of sorting those out to spam. And my gosh, if you ever look at your spam folder, you'll croak thinking about the chances that you could fall prey. And thankfully, the rest of the world has grammatical struggles when it comes to English, so that, you know, the dead giveaway is missing words or misspelled words, etc. But anyway, well, Wynn, we're glad to have you back today. And I forgot our disclaimer. Just like prior weeks, I want to make sure you understand that, you know, we're trying to help you with some education. We hope it's entertaining, although I don't classify it as entertainment like some of the other real estate shows do. And we may or may not talk about real estate today. We're going to see how long this discussion goes. But even with respect to cybersecurity, I'm going to tell you, you need to consult with experts before you start doing whatever it is you think you're going to do, whatever you read about somewhere online or you saw on YouTube. A lot of great ideas out there. I know I use YouTube a bunch with the real estate work and the tax work that we do. But, you know, it's kind of like using Google Maps. If you don't have some idea of where you're going, good luck if you're relying on Google Maps 100% to get you there. And I've learned for certain in a city the size of Bangkok, where there's multiple ways of getting anywhere, you better have some idea. Take a taxi the first time. See how the taxi gets there, and that'll be something for you to emulate. But, Wynn, welcome to the show again, and what are we going to talk about today?
Well, thank you, Nathan, for another opportunity in this Sunday. And today, I want to talk about phishing, and the term we heard all the time. But I just want to reiterate what it means. So phishing is a definition of sending email a message purportedly in order to induce individual to reveal personal information like password, credit card numbers, and things as such.
Hey, Wynn, why don't you spell phishing first? I think we assume everybody knows what that means and how it's spelled and that kind of thing.
Okay, well, it's not like fish, like we're fishing.
It's not like a trot line.
No, it's not a trot line.
Although it kind of is like a trot line from the other end.
You know
what?
For the first time when I heard that phishing, that's what I thought too.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Yeah.
But no, phishing is P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G.
Okay.
Not fishing, like F-I-S-H, right?
Right.
So anyway, so today's topic, we want to talk about like security awareness. And the purpose is we know about it, but how do you detect? How do you spot the phishing email when it comes to you? And I'm telling you right now, it's happening all around the country that people still click on the link even though you train them because the bad guy circumvents.
It's like having a Christmas present under the Christmas tree. And you can't wait to get it open.
They
right?
are playing with your behavior, right? And that's exactly what they do. That's what that's whole objective is they're playing with your behavior, okay? So some of the thing that I want to talk about is how to spot a phishing attack like a pro, okay? The word is like a pro. It's like, how, for myself, how would I detect it? And some of the things we talk about is, look, like, I'm going to go over to the topic real quick, the highlight, like the sender email address, the greeting and the signatures, and the urgency or the threatening languages, and the scrutiny, the content. Examining the attachment is the worst one. We go
what,
to that.
What
later.
Do you? Oh, okay. We'll come back to that because I've got a couple questions.
And then
that.
The auth requests. Okay. Okay. And then auth. But go ahead. I'll let you ask you.
Well, on scrutinizing. Well, no. Let's see. It was analyze greeting and signature. Well, let's start with the first one. The sender's email address. If it's ever an at and then non-corporate type domain, like in my case, npross.com is our domain. That said, I use Gmail a lot because one thing I've learned is, and this unfortunately works against a lot of users, is most people would open a Gmail address email that might not open a corporate one. And I find that it's the antithesis of what you might think. And I, in fact, I've got a product that allows us to do group or batch email merges, and they specifically run that from your Gmail account, and they maintained that they've done studies where the email's far more likely to get open. It's kind of like a handwritten name and address on an envelope, on a letter. Are you more likely to open that or one that's got a label on it or it's typed, right? And well, so that's a big issue that I notice. And yet when that email address is, you know, 180 characters long and maybe six segments and then it ends at Gmail, you can rest assured that's probably an attempt to extract your money away from you because most people, my Gmail account, you know, it's npross@gmail. It's not anything long and, you know.
Well, if you look at something, it depends on the context of the email, right? If the email comes from something like financials and you look at the sender came from Gmail, you have to question yourself, why are you using a Gmail?
Right.
But Gmail's a Gmail, Hotmail, and Yahoo. Those are things you need to scrutinize every time you receive
it. They're free.
No, they're free. That's the problem, right? And Gmail also have a paying service. You have to pay for the spam filter. But here's the thing, okay? They did a great job of some, but it only take one time. One time.
Oh, okay? I know. And the one I mentioned came in this past week. It went through, apparently, the spam filter, and yet my eyes filtered it. And when I saw missing words and misspelled words, it's like, well, I was thinking, well, how did that get past Gmail? So it had some type of authentic nature, I guess, where Gmail looked at it and said, oh, you know, let's let it go.
Well, I'm going to show you a little trick, okay? Uh-huh. Don't look at the actual email, for example, like NathanRoss@gmail.com, or look at the alias name. Okay, the alias name is just the name. It looked very legit, like Nathan, right?
Look at the replies.
Look at the actual email.
Okay.
But it can come by Nathan@xyz.zxy. Those are the true email, not the alias email. That's just a name. And most people using their phone, sometimes you look at your phone, it's different when you look from your computers.
Yeah.
And you notice, when you look at your phone, you don't see a lot of contacts, right? So people just click on it without looking at the actual email. That's what get them in trouble, okay? But one thing you can do is, I'll tell you more later, you can always, if you suspect it's a fake email or a spam email, move it to the spam folder. Then you can highlight it. You can click it all day long. You won't do any damage.
Oh, is that right? So, okay. And I was going to ask you, many times I've been tempted, and I never have, but I've been tempted because they were such outrageous suppositions, I guess, or prepositions offering me something or wanting, I've been tempted to reply and carry the conversation about. Never done it. But if you did that, you would want to execute it from the spam folder, you're saying?
Yes.
And including opening attachments? I've never opened attachments, to my knowledge.
You can open all day long, but you won't do anything because it will stop right there. But it also, all you have to do is highlight it. You will see the email thread. You can see, like, you know that right away it's spoofing. You know right away it's not legit.
Yeah.
And next time we can dive into it, and I can explain to you even further. Okay?
Okay.
But there's a lot that's going on right now, but also the targets, too, who they send it to. So now they know that we are aware of that, right? So right now, you know who, you know, really sad? You know who they're targeting? They're targeting seniors.
Yeah.
It's a growing crisis right now.
It ought to be in the category of elder abuse is what it should be.
And these people get away with that. I heard so many stories that the elder just bankrupt, basically just emptied the bank account.
Yeah.
Because of these people that using spam email. Okay. Yeah. So some of the thing here that we want to talk about, I want to help, you know, people that be aware of it, what's going on out there. You know, nowadays, you know, when it comes to security, you have to be the fox and the lion at the same time.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
And you really, you know, you want to assume that, you know, good people have sent you emails, right? I mean, I've never knowingly given my email address to a hacker, right? So anyway, hey, let's do this. We're right on top of the first break. Let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll return with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at n.com. npross.com. Nathan@npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Like the song, Bobby McGee, I'm just longing to be free. Take me where I want to be. Big dreams and fake dreams. And there are many just like me.
With big dreams and fake dreams.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner show, and no, you haven't tuned into the wrong show or the wrong station. I actually had somebody call me yesterday, it was Saturday, saying, man, who are the two ladies that are hijacking your show today? And he was forgetting that I'm not on Saturday, I'm on Sunday at 7 a.m. But anyway, so in case you've been listening, yes, we still are the Be a Planner show, but you know, planning has a lot more categories than just real estate and taxes. And due to some of the very recent issues with computer systems and, you know, corporate and personal, I've asked my longtime associate and support vendor and business partner at times to join me on the air, and I think we're going to turn Sundays into cybersecurity Sundays and help people get a better grasp of what's going on. It helps when you've had somebody that has lived a little, as the, I think it was Farmers Commercial says, Mr. Wynn knows a little because he's seen a little, I guess, over the years. But in any event, we were talking before the break about phishing. That's P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G, and how to spot it, because it's a thing, and it's really a thing. I mean, it's sad to say that the elderly are taken advantage of, and I don't know how we define elderly. I know I've come close, but I've, knock on wood, or Formica in this case, I've yet to have an issue. But when you had a list of issues to check, and I think we were down to, we were right at scrutinize the content. I think you had mentioned examine the attachments. And before you go past examine the attachments, I'm just curious, when you say examine, define examine. I never click an attachment unless it's from somebody I know, and I cringe even then. So what do you mean when you say examine the attachment?
Well, if you look at the attachment, like, it's very intense, like entitled, like try to get you to interested in the topic.
So you're talking about before you click it?
Before you click
okay,
it.
Okay, now at that point, have you already moved it off to the spam folder so you've got whatever protections Gmail might offer?
This is the first time when people look at the email, right? They look at the body, the subject, and then the body of the content. And the body of the subject will catch your eyes already. And the body of the content is to entice you to look even further, right? And I just want to change a little bit with this topic, that today they're using AI.
Right.
They're
makes
using
it even
AI.
More real, right?
It's more real, and they don't misspell anymore. So what I am asking you about, look at the content, like spelling and grammar mistake, forget those. They're using content.
Is that right?
They don't misspell anymore.
Huh.
Okay. But you still can catch it, but you have to look really detailed. For example, is it human talking or is it machine talking?
Right.
Because sometimes it's too perfect, and you know, but it's very difficult. Even for me, okay? That's why they say, when in doubt, When in doubt, put over the spam. You can look at all you want.
And that's something I'm learning today for the first time. I've never heard that. And that would allow me to, when I'm intrigued, to get the gratification, if you will, of seeing what's in there without having to worry about getting scammed. And is that literally at the free level of like a Gmail or a Yahoo, or is that once you're paying something? You mentioned paying for a spam filter. I guess that's – I pay for my Gmail. I don't use the free one. I pay for the one that gives you more space. Does that mean that has a spam filter? Because I get stuff –
Sometimes they catch it, sometimes they don't. Yeah. That's the problem. It only takes one time, right? But you thought that maybe it's only happened to the free account. No, it happened to a legitimate like corporate account, like Exxon or Chevron. They get a lot because those people are targeted. Those companies are targeted.
Yeah, well, hackers know how to scrape they websites and scrape, I guess, contact us accounts, things
so
like that.
If you look at what happened to AT&T, right? 74 million accounts get hacked.
Yeah, and that was a week or two ago?
No, since last year.
But, oh, was
but
it?
Still going on.
I thought I just saw something.
Well, because with AT&T. What happened, and people keep bringing it up, because AT&T said it's nothing. All they have just a metadata. No. They have your social security, they have your financial system, all everything. And they sell it to the dark net. And the darknet turn around, get your all your information, and they put into their database, their query. Think about that.
Yeah.
Okay? They have their own system, too, that system.
By the way, that's another reason not to use AT&T, okay? Oh. I'm just kidding. It happens to all of them. I'm sure T-Mobile has had their breaches, but...
Everybody has the time and that's what hackers do, right? So they focus on the biggest carrier. That's our idea. T-Mobile get a lot too.
True.
And then another thing too we talk about is the auth request, right? Be skeptical about asking for sensitive information like password, credit card numbers, and social security number. Those are the things that you need to be careful.
This should say, be careful for too good to be true request, okay?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, give me your bank account. I want to put a bunch of money in it. Yeah, right.
When something too good to be true, it probably is.
Yeah.
That's what I learned. So just stay informed and use security tools. Use spam filter. Do something. But the most important, by the end of the day, it's going to be you who make the decision. Be skeptical. Yeah.
What other security tools are there besides spam filter?
Well, spam filter is a major one, but also the antivirus, right? And the other one, but I don't think I can talk about it.
Every once in a while I get a truly old school old timer that's using AOL. And you know how, or Earthlink, I think it's Earthlink,
yeah,
where they anytime you email somebody for the first time, Earthlink sends back authentication type, protocol. I'm not sure how you would define it, but it doesn't just go through to the person you're sending it to the first time. Is that a user-induced tool, or is that just across the board with Earthlink or AOL, whichever one? I think they're actually owned.
You're talking about like a dual-factor authentication, like they send you back
the
code?
But it's not, well, I can't remember. It's been a while since I've seen it. All I know is the email I sent did not immediately go through until I approved who I was. So anyway.
Another tool is just enable dual-factor authentication to protect your email.
But you're talking about logging in.
Yeah.
Not on each individual email, obviously.
Correct.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'd say that's mandatory in today's world. And Gmail handles that pretty well. But anyway. Okay, what else we got here? Stay informed, verify independently. So what? Go Google the sender, or how do you? Because I am amazed how many times when I have done that, many other people have gotten either a phone call from a marketing number or an email from someone. I mean, it's not like we're on an island anymore, right?
So you, anytime when you have a phone call like that, right, and you can really tell, look at the numbers, right? Is it unknown or some? No, actually, we usually depend on that, but not anymore. Now they use a
scam spoofing. Likely, right?
Yeah.
T-Mobile.
I on the topic next time, I'm going to show you that I can use somebody else's phone number and calling you.
What do we call that? Spoofing? Or?
Spoofing. And okay. You, for example, I can use your mom's phone number and call you. You think it's your mom.
I want to hear more about that. Mm-hmm. Explain how, I mean, I know we configure our own phone system. We use a product, cloud-based product. But I'm still not clear how I could transmit a call where, well, I guess it's simply the label, right, on what's going to show on caller ID. It didn't necessarily mean you have that number, right?
It doesn't mean it anymore because the bad guy can use tools. He can use software from the dark net, and they actually sell it to you. And you can spoof someone else's number. They know if they call from you and you know the phone numbers, then you will block it, right? You put it on the sender. But if I can use the tools and I can pretend somebody you know and calling you, you will pick it up because it came from me.
Yeah. Well, I know I don't see our, you know, we've got more than a few numbers in our call rotation. It'll be close. It may not, it won't be all 10 digits the same, but the area code will be the same. The first three numbers will be the same. And then maybe the next two out of that last four. And it looks familiar. That's what they're trying to accomplish. We're on the fly. You don't think about, you know, the fact that it could be a problem. Hey, I wanted to pivot just slightly to a fairly recent scam that I see out there. Some really sad stories, and they typically, as with some of these other scams, involve the elderly. And the term that's being applied to it is pig butchering scams. And essentially, it involves people that have some money, usually elderly, and it's where someone is manipulating said parties into unwittingly giving away their hard-earned money. And man, I've seen some sad stories, and it always starts off with a little bit of money, and then they're going to give it back. They need your bank account, things like that. But explain, you know more about this than I do.
Yeah, this is a term that they use usually with cryptocurrency scheme. And the term pig butchering scam is also known as, like, in Chinese, is a sa zun pan, right? Translating to like the killing pig plate, right?
Yeah.
It's a type of long-term scam and investment fraud, which victim is gradually lured into making increasing contribution in the form of cryptocurrency,
yeah,
or any fraudulent cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
For example, they say, hey, if you want to make money on a cryptocurrency like 5% a day, let's try it out for $1,000. So they're using the app that they developed themselves, and they let you see that you're winning every day, right? And when you see this, you know what, just $1,000, put in $4,000. And then they turn around and say, no, you're not qualified yet. You can only put another $1,000. Okay, this is the trick in your mind, and the elders say, "Wait a minute! If I can make more, what? I have 5,000. I just do it." No, ma'am, I you can't do that. We have to follow our system. So they talk to very convincing, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Just try it out, $1,000 only, and then they see you winning and winning and winning. The next week they say you qualify for 5,000, and then you turn around and say, "Why can't I just put 7,000?" No, you have to follow our system. 5,000.
Yeah.
One lady put over in the period of time less than 1 year. It's over $400,000. She sold her house and her husband 401k.
One of those stories made the Wall Street Journal.
They sold it and they gave. And then when they say, you know what, we want to take our money that we're winning, and the hacker said, you know, but you had to pay the tax first. So how much I had to pay the tax? You had to pay $50,000 more. So on top of $400,000, you had to pay another $50,000. To get your money, which you will never get.
This sounds like the Mexico condo purchase scam. I mean, I've heard that same line of argument. I've got a friend at the moment that's chasing like $150,000. I mean, it's not millions, but to him, it's a contractor actually of mine. And it's what you just described. You know, he was in crypto and somebody offered him some kind of, you know, sure deal. And it was a small amount of money. It started turning into a bigger amount. And now he's at the point, I mean, he's calling it ransomware. I guess maybe it's some subsection of ransomware. But the problem is, and we need to have, I've got another associate who has a small business, his spouse is a professional. And he actually had legitimate ransomware demands, and he, boy, is that a story. I mean, the folks that offer to help you, like the people had legitimate Facebook accounts, they're connected to the group that did the original ransomware. It's like a twisted circle.
They're the same group that just changing their name. That's, yeah, they evolved.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And they offer to help, and next thing you know, you're paying them in advance, and this is like 5 years ago, and he's still fighting it, you know?
So that's the question. When you receive an email most of them came from phishing, right? Question yourself, how did you know me? How do you know me, right?
Right.
And sometimes, you know, I am one of the guys that play, I mean, I look at Instagram and TikTok, right? And once in a while I receive a text from people that I don't even know.
Yeah.
Because they're based on what you look at. Somehow, right, they know that you look at things.
Sure.
Right? And all of a sudden, but you look at the text when they send you something, right? Like, hey, how are you? You play cryptos? But look underneath there, say probably junk. That's an indicator. You don't know this person. Click on the junk and it will remove it. Report junk on your text message. Nowadays, you be careful what you click on the text. Forget email, just a text.
I don't see that option. It may be because I use Google Voice for my text. Maybe they don't.
Then you're lucky. Then you don't go to Instagram a lot or TikTok a lot. But you, if you do, you will see it.
I'm a YouTube Shorts kind of guy.
Okay. Well, try
so
TikTok.
So there is potential for fraud there.
Well, YouTube has a better security than TikTok. TikTok is, I tell you, that. You got to be careful.
Because it's targeted to our kids, you know.
They target the kid and they target the elder. Yeah. I'm telling you, we don't talk about it, but the elders suffer right now.
Yeah.
And there's so many stories and people don't want to talk about it. They don't want, you know.
Well, it's like banks don't ever publicize the fact that their systems were hacked or they were robbed on some clever scheme, because then every hacker in the world knows it. Right, they'll target them again.
Now, here's the thing I need to tell people. I don't know, we don't have enough time, but if you get scammed, the first thing you need to go to ic3.org. Next time we can talk, we can delve into more.
ic3.org.
What is the IC? That's the government website, right?
Okay.
That to protect consumer. If you get hacked, if you lose your money on your like wire transfer, you go to the bank will not work with you. The first thing you need to do, contact these people, because under 50,000, I think I have to look at it. But the moment they see you reporting that, they will work with you. In most cases, you get your money back.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
What, do they give you money back when they collect it from criminals on these cases?
No. Sometimes, even if you wire the money and you think the money's gone, right?
Oh, so they reach into the other account that got it.
Before they even do that, that's between them and the government. But they usually want, the moment that you report your IC3, you have a case number, the bank will work with you. Most of the time, they will credit
retrieve
your account.
Yeah.
There's one lady, she lost about $3,000 up to $10,000. And she tried to deal with the bank. And the bank said, you know what, I'm sorry, but you, the one who wired the money, you're the one who initiated it.
Yeah.
Not necessary. Okay. You could contact the IC3 reporting it. And once they get the case number, they work with that, they will refund your money.
Interesting.
I think the maximum you're responsible for is $50.
Huh.
But next time we can delve into, I can take you to more detail what you need to do.
Yeah, I'm curious about that.
Yeah.
Well, let's do this. We're right on top of the second break. Seems like win-win keeps me on task here on these shows. We're hitting all the breaks right on time. We'll be right back momentarily with the last segment of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
No matter how much it cost, and I want to win, no matter how much I lost. Grindstones and rhinestones are made of my life, but I shine like a diamond through sacrifice. I'm gonna be rich, no matter how much it cost. I'm gonna win, no matter how much I lost. But I hope that will tell me, well done, my child. You've won your reward through your sacrifice. Your
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make it.
Okay, welcome back to the last segment of this week's Be a Planner show. This is our Cybersecurity Sunday version, and we have my esteemed cybersecurity guest, Mr. Wynn Nguyen, and he is a wealth of information, and I've learned at least two things new today. I learned that the spam folder, at least on Gmail, I assume it's true on Yahoo maybe, when? Or
that's pretty much true for all emails.
Is it? Mm-hmm. That once you've moved an email off into spam, it's got other protections in terms of clicking attachments and getting, I guess it won't allow a virus to get launched. When? Is that the idea?
Well, you can launch it, you can click on it, it won't do anything to it because it's contained on that folder.
I see.
Yeah,
huh.
That's the whole purpose.
Well, that's worth the price of admission right there. I mean, that's huge. And I can't believe I've been using Gmail for, I don't know, since 2003 or 4. I was one of the early invitees, you may recall. Back then, you couldn't just go and run it. You had to be invited. But in any event, That's a big deal. And then the second thing that I learned, let me go back to my notes here. Let's see. Oh, you said something about analyzing the greeting and the signature that, you know, was telling. And I've always done that because that's an easy one if it's obvious. but it's not necessarily obvious in the way they can disguise it. You have to look at, I guess we used to call it the header information. Is that similar under the cloud-based systems like it was with Outlook?
Well, yeah, they're pretty much similar. But when I say analyze a greeting, like you look at a vague greeting like dear customer, instead of using the actual name, right? They're using a very vague, because they send out a million of emails. They don't, they're not going to know your name, so they say dear customer.
Yeah, it's mass production. There's nobody that's custom crafting. Or they would catch a lot of them. I don't even think they run spell check based on what I've seen or grammar check. They need... Grammarly is what they need. Well, although Grammarly breaks as many as it catches, right?
Well, usually legitimate email usually include the contact details in the signatures. And look at, be wary of if these are missing on the email, right? So you look at the signatures, look at the detail. Usually they're missing that.
Well, you know, I would even start more basically, if you don't know the sender, why open it? Who are you going to make angry or upset? I mean, the IRS won't email you, and other companies that have a reason to worry about somebody not opening the email they're going to send, they're going to find another way to communicate with you, okay? And I don't know. I rarely, now sometimes I miss an opportunity. I'm not going to say I don't, because, you know, I attend webinars, particularly in the CPA arena, where there may be some sponsors behind the scenes that are given access to the attendee list, but, you know, call me. I know that's old school. In my case, call and leave me a voicemail, because I don't usually answer the phone, but I will get back to people, and I do tend to focus on text and emails now more than, I mean, text and voicemails now more than email. I rarely get through my email list on the same day. I mean, I have more than several hundred, probably six or 700 a day. And I figure, and it's like I tell all my clients, and I'm going to say it on the air, if you ever send me an email, that's okay. You better go text me and tell me to check my email. And otherwise, I'll get to it if and when I get to it. And if you don't know me, you won't be texting me.
Just use code. Yeah. So I told all my friends, start using code. We should go back to the World War I, you know, where when the email, you know, what kind
the
of email?
Counterintelligence.
They're using Pigeon to carry email. We may have to go back to that era to do it. How do they? There's no IP address, but they're using Pigeon to carry message.
Yeah, true.
We may have to go to the basic.
True. Isn't it amazing that they would send something? I don't know how highly classified it may have been, but they did use a lot of that, at least in country, I guess, right?
They're still using it today, believe
it or not.
Are
they really?
They're still using it in the Middle East.
I'll bet.
There's no internet in the desert.
Huh.
So they
train. But those pigeons might be a drone with a little bomb, right, or explosive.
There's one case, and I think this is open to the public, right?
Yeah.
So if you heard about the Stuxnet, where the Israeli and U.S. involved with Iran nuclear, we can delve into more. But these are public knowledge. So how did they get information to Iran nuclear, right? And they also discovered in Yemen a falcon with a hornet.
Huh.
See? So you can carry a message, you can carry USB drive, you can carry for the operation. And they still use it.
It remarkable. You know, the most recent win, quote unquote, no relation to Mr. Win-Win here. The general the defense guy that was just killed by the Israelis, where they apparently embedded a bomb like months
before, or whatever.
It's a long time. And, of course, there's some dispute of that. But still, just for them to be able to pull that off, that would be like, you know, somebody, you know, putting a bomb at, well, maybe not the White House, but Camp David, maybe. I mean, this was somebody that was protected in their, you know, hierarchy, right? And then the show that was explaining basically what had happened talked about how Israel took out several nuclear scientists, motorcycle would pull up beside them and do a some kind of magnetized bomb on the outside of the car, and it only took out the intended target. It wasn't a lot of collateral damage hitting civilians and things like that. It's, you know, that's old school stuff. You know, there's nothing cyber about that, you know.
See, that's the problem.
God forbid they can put a bomb in an attachment on an email, right? I mean, I guess they could initiate it if they already had it somewhere, maybe. I don't know.
See a little bug, like a bee, and they have, like, micro, when you open it up, they have a microprocessor in there?
No kidding.
This is today technology, and we're talking about semiconductor. Getting smaller and smaller. The CPU,
yeah.
If you look at NVIDIA, right?
Yeah.
The entire CPU, like trillion of code.
Wow.
That's more than in the 60s we have on the mainframe.
It's just
combined.
Amazing.
That's
yeah.
How small that is.
Okay, well, we've got about 6 minutes left. So let's go ahead and go through denial of service attacks. What are they? And this really isn't something, I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, that I'm going to be able to avoid with some Gmail settings, right?
No, this is a bigger scale. This is for the ISP.
At you.
This is something that they don't attack individual. It's,
yeah.
It's more like a company, for example, like Microsoft. And if you look at the recent happened to CrowdStrike, and today we have Microsoft that last week.
Yeah, Friday.
Last week, what happened, right? And it turned out to be a distributed denial of service. So most people don't know what that is. So let me explain to them the term, what that is, okay, real quick. The distributed denial of service is a tactic designed to force the website and computer online service to be offline. So this sends you a million and million of packets, right, and trick you and overwhelm the flood the internet with traffic and eventually shut down your website, right? So Microsoft has the mechanism, a defense mechanism to stop that. But in return, that Microsoft responds by making a network configuration to perform the failover to an alternate path, which mitigate the impact. But it turned out that they are hurting themselves. They're shutting themselves down. That's another phrase for misconfiguration. So they tricked Microsoft, and Microsoft respond.
So they exacerbated the situation, made it worse
doing
what they thought was the appropriate response.
Exactly. So they make it even worse. So last week you heard about Microsoft, all people cannot log in to the 365. That's cloud base.
That's a big deal.
Right.
Have they determined who executed that and what their incentive was? Why did they want to take Microsoft down on that product?
The thing about the distributed denial of service doesn't come from one source. So basically, they send a million of zombie computers. You don't know who it is. Most cases, you don't know who it is. And they just overwhelm your traffic and eventually shut down your services. That's the intent, right?
Yeah.
Shut down your system.
And it just makes you realize how good. I mean, I know people like to complain about government and military, et cetera, but think about the significant roadblocks that those systems have to avoid. I mean, I'm sure they get denial of service attacks, but they sure don't publicize them. And
it happened a lot more than you think. But sometimes when you hear about disruption, like you cannot access. Now, if a good company has a failover system, right? A failover. So they usually, but this time, I don't know, maybe they're using AI, maybe they're using, we don't know.
Yeah.
So AI is like, I would say like another Skynet, right, for the term that we,
yeah.
You know, sometimes Hollywood, they know things before we.
Yeah.
So maybe it tried to respond in a way that doesn't care about what happened. It just needs to stop.
And I mean, the ability to execute at the right time and the right spot, you think about how almost all of our military now is run through IT networks. I mean, the guys sitting in San Antonio at the intelligence, one of the newest bases there, I think, if I'm not mistaken, they're actually the ones guiding drones in halfway around the world. And it's like, boy, if you could shut their network down at the appropriate time and render whoever on that side of the world we're defending defenseless, That's crazy.
That's going to be the next warfare.
Yeah.
A line of code.
Yeah.
Just a line of code you can disrupt.
And my only comment is, I hope it gets less expensive than, you know, dressing out a battalion or whatever the delineator is on numbers, because you would think with all the tech that we have now, I mean, the cost of drones has come way down, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, not only that, you know, that today the military, they recruit more, they need more officer than ground.
Is that right?
Yeah, because yeah. they need somebody to run those systems.
Yeah.
They need to run those systems. You know, if you look at maybe we're off topic a little bit, but if you look at the F-35, right, that is a flying sensor. That's all it is, a flying sensor.
Sensor or center?
Sensor.
Okay.
Like it just that thing fly. It's just like a drone. Huh. Like it fly by itself, and it look at 360. You look at the helmet that they wear.
Yeah.
That 360.
Huh.
Right. And when that thing fire a missile at you, you don't know where it's coming from. It could come from a different base.
Is that right?
Yeah. Wow. I read this.
Oh, wait a minute. You mean the request, or you mean the physical missile?
They can lock in the target, but you think that the missile fired from an F-35 may not
I
be
see.
True. They fire from another base that F-35 initiate. It's the network. It's the network.
Huh.
Okay. So today is our military system based on the network.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. But the network also vulnerable to this kind of system. Distribute deny of service. You can shut it down.
Yeah. Well, let me think. Scale and intensity of the denial of service. Is this like the worst thing that can happen? What's worse than this? If you happen to be in the bullseye.
Well, imagine that you cannot access for a few days.
Oh, I know.
Imagine you cannot go.
How
to your
soon
bank.
Did Office 365 come back up?
It come back actually very quick.
Was it this past Friday or Friday a week ago?
No, the last past Friday.
Just
actually Thursday.
Okay, I was going to say Thursday, it had to be more than
Thursday, yeah. But it happened in several hours, and they'd be able to recover.
Well, I mean, if you're working on a project and you got a deadline Friday at end of business, you know, that's material. Maybe that's why you would keep a desktop version of Excel handy, but you might not be able to get to the data, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Hey, listen, we are right at the end of the show. Really enjoyable show. I learned just learning about the spam folder and that extra capability. That's big. That's big for our listeners too, I believe. But in any event, hey, if you want to consider working with us or Mr. Win-Win, feel free to connect with us. You can call me or text me at 713-581-0195. And if you want to schedule a call, go to baplannershow.com and click the call link to schedule it. And it would be great if you would go ahead and fill out at least step one, form one, on the Forms tab. We will return on Thursday at 2 p.m. and we hope you can join us again right here on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.